ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله All praises are for Allah Azza wa Jal Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala our creator our nourisher our lord our sustainer We thank Allah for each and every favor that he has given to us And we beg Allah to continue to bless us with all his favors and the kindness that he continues to extend to the human beings. From among Allah's great favors that he has given to you and I as Muslim, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a very beautiful religion to us. Islam, subhanallah. Islam is the deenul haqq, it is the religion of truth. But Islam is also deenun kamil, it is a complete and perfect way. And this is something which Allah has counted as a very, very great favor that he has given to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There have been very, very great favors and kindness that were extended to the people in the past. Like the Bani Israel and the children of Israel. They were a very great nation. That nation of the Israelites, that was a very great nation. And that nation also was a very blessed nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Holy Quran, he indicates to this point where he says, Ya Bani Israel, O the children of Israel, the children and the descendants of Yaqub alayhi salam, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. Remember my favors which I have given to you. He's saying to them, remember the favors that I've given to you and also remember that I honored you above every single nation on the face of the earth. You were the best to me, subhanallah. You were the greatest to me. You were the most beloved to me. He's saying, أَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ Above every single person, you were the most honored. And this is why we find that among all the miracles that have come to the people in the past, most of the miracles came to the people who were the followers of Musa alayhi salam at his time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them in many, many different ways. The food came directly from the heavens for them. They will see the food, the manna and the salwa coming down with their own eyes. For them, subhanallah, the rocks burst apart and there were 12 streams coming from the rocks. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made pathways and road in the ocean, the deep ocean. They were able to cross. While it is totally impossible for anyone to actually walk through the sea. I mean, we can well imagine what a miraculous event took place at the time of Musa alayhi salam. If you and I were to go to any one of the beachfront and just stand for a little while, and in front of our eyes we just see the water parting, and then roads are just created, subhanallah. You can well imagine people may fall dead because of a heart attack if they see that happening. Subhanallah, it was such a great miracle that in front of the eyes of the Bani Israel and the followers of Musa alayhi salam at that time, they saw that the waters were just parting and roads, 12 roads were caused to happen and come about in the sea, and they walked through it. And not only that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved them and they reached on the other side, and Pharaoh and his army, they were in that sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the water to come back together, and that water drowned Pharaoh and his people. It's a miracle. And one after the other, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to punish and send his punishments one after the other to the people of Pharaoh and Pharaoh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause certain things to happen to them, but that will not happen to the followers of Musa alayhi salam. It will not happen. So therefore, when Allah caused the water to turn into blood, when the follower of Musa alayhi salam will take a glass of water or a cup of water to drink, he will drink wholesome water. That person will drink good water and nothing will happen. But if any of the other person held a glass of water, they saw it as water, but by the time they sipped it, it was already turned into blood. Miracles that they saw in front of their eyes, one after the other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to bestow upon these people great favors. Favors that are known as miracles. Very, very great things came to them. However, there is something that came to us, that it is through the iqrar and the confession of a follower of Musa alayhi salam, that this one thing that came to us is far better than whatever came to them. And that is with respect to that hadith that Imam Bukhari has quoted, where that person, the Jewish person, came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was the Khalifa at that time, he said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, O the commander of the believers, there is a verse in your book. There is a verse in your book that if that verse was revealed to us, we would have taken the day on which that verse was revealed as a celebration, as an Eid. As a celebration. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave najat and he gave salvation to Musa alayhi salam and his followers by causing them to be protected from Pharaoh through the pathways of the sea, Musa alayhi salam fasted on that day, which is known as the day of Ashur or the day of Ashura. That was a form of thanksgiving to Allah. And all the miracles came one by one. But never ever did any one of those people said, for that miracle, or on the day that that miracle took place, or upon the salvation of the people and the followers of Musa alayhi salam from the tyrant and oppressive rule of Pharaoh, let us take that day as a day of Eid. They are not saying that. But what does the person want to do, and what he's saying and talking on behalf of the Jews of Medina? But this day they want to take as an Eid. It goes to show that the happier a man is, the bigger the celebration. The happier a person is, it is the bigger the celebration. So therefore they are so happy and they are so joyful. If they would have been so joyful and happy if this verse of the Holy Quran was revealed to them, that the day on which the verse was revealed, they would have celebrated the day with great festivities and celebrated it like an Eid. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a very intelligent person, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately understood what verse the man was speaking about. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "I know the verse that you are speaking about, and I know the day it was revealed on, and I know the place it was revealed, where it was revealed, and I know the time also." He says, "The verse you are speaking about, it is the verse in which Allah is telling us, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that day, that particular day, Allah is saying, I have perfected and completed your religion." Where Allah says in the Holy Quran, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina." Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on that day, which happened to be approximately 80 days before the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to some commentators, that Allah revealed on that day, it was the day of Arafah. It was the greatest gathering, when all the Muslims had to gather together and congregate together in one place called Arafah. That while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst all these people, Allah revealed that ayah so that at that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite it to all, each and everyone. Because for the Hajj and for the pilgrimage at that time and even today, it's not only the people who came from Makkah and Medina. The people came from Syria. The people came from Busra. The people came from all these different surrounding areas. Those people who will not normally be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the greatest majma and the greatest audience at that time. So that they will know that alhamdulillah, now Islam is completed and perfected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that today, this day, I have perfected the religion. I have completed the religion to you. And Allah is saying, and I am pleased with this religion as your deen. This is the way of life I am pleased with. So this ayah, this concept of the perfection and completion of any religion, my dear respected brothers and sisters, was never revealed to any of the prophets of the past, not to Musa alayhi salam, not to Isa alayhi salam, not to Ibrahim alayhi salam, not to any prophet of the past, but only to the last prophet upon the completion of the mission that he came to fulfill on the face of the earth. And this is why that person who was a follower of Musa alayhi salam, this is why he was mentioning that he said that only if this verse was revealed to us, because then we will know our religion is complete and perfect. But if that verse was not revealed, then our religion is not perfect and complete. So my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, this is from among Allah's greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has given to the Ummah. Allah has given to the Ummah that the religion that we follow, it is complete in every way and it is perfect in every way. And if this religion is complete and perfect in any way, in every way, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, it means that this religion has given us an explanation for every single thing we need to know. This religion has given us an explanation for every single thing we need to know. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the verse of the Holy Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ, and we have revealed this book to you, O Muhammad, تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, as an explanation for every single thing. Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ, O Prophet, we have sent this book to you, we have revealed this book to you, تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, as an explanation for every single thing. وَهُدَى, and it is a guidance. وَرَحْمَى, and it is a mercy. وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and it is a means of glad tidings for the believers. This is why we have revealed this Quran. So therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has revealed this Quran, this book, and has sent this deen as deen a kamil and perfect and complete deen, then it means, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, every single thing that we need to know, it is in the deen of Islam, and it is from the explanation of the Holy Quran. This is why Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have sent to you this book as tibyan, as an explanation for every single thing. So everything in the Quran means every single thing. تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, as an explanation for every single thing. So everything means everything. And it does not mean that everything about rituals, about acts of ibadat and worship, but every single thing that any Muslim will be confronted with, Islam has given us the teaching, Islam has given us an explanation for everything, and has given us a solution for every single problem. And every situation that confronts a Muslim, and every confrontation that a Muslim has, he will find an answer to that in the religion which Allah has made perfect and complete. That religion which Allah has made complete and perfect, the Muslim will find it there. So therefore, Islam is unique. It is unique in a way that whatever Islam has touched upon, there is absolutely no other religion that has gone at so much length to actually describe and detail whatever the laws are for us. Every single thing. People who may follow different religions, wherever they live, if a person passes away, everyone goes to the law of the country. How is the inheritance? How is the estate? How is the wealth of that person? How is that distributed? Everyone will have their own way. But Islam has given us a defined and specific manner that it is not based on any civil law that exists in any country at any particular time. But once a person passes away, the father will get so much, the mother will get so much, The wife will get so much, the son will get so much, the daughter will get so much. If there are no daughters, how much the son and the parents will get? If there are no sons, then how is it divided? If there are no parents, then how it is divided? If there are no immediate children and there are grandchildren, then how that is divided also? In details, no other religion has gone at so much length to give us full details. If you say you are angry and you say this to your wife, is that a divorce? If you are angry and you say that, is that a divorce? If you use any action that expresses something, is that acceptable or not? In other words, it goes to such detail that it does not allow man and it does not allow the Muslims to sit back and figure out the laws and the solution to the problems that they may encounter in their life. And so too, the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala and whom will ask every single thing that they were confronted with in their lives, whether it was about marriage, whether it was about divorce, whether it is about business, whether it is about land, whether it was about agriculture. Subhanallah, they will even ask about the new moon. What is this new moon for, O Prophet of Allah? What is this? O Prophet of Allah, this sacrifice you are doing every year, what is this about? O Prophet of Allah, why do we have to do this? Why should this be done? They are asking because the solution is there in Islam, because they know that this is complete and perfect, the perfect way of life. So therefore, this is a very important thing we need to know, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we have revealed this book to you as an explanation for every single thing, and Islam has been revealed as the perfect way of life and as the complete religion and the complete way of life, my dear respected brothers and sisters, what we are to understand, that really it means every single thing it has touched upon. It does not leave any situation unresolved, nor has it left any certain affair or issue that Muslims have to put their heads together and burst their heads to figure out what is the way out. Man najat, man najat, what is the way of salvation? So Muslims will always be confronted with situations that never existed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Quran has given us guiding principles. The traditions have given us guiding principles. And the fuqaha and the jurists of Islam, they have also established guiding principles from the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his blessed era, he already decreed punishment for actions that were non-existent and that will come afterwards. So when it came afterwards, the solution was already there. And in each and every aspect, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, alhamdulillah, Islam has always provided solutions and explanations to every single thing. So therefore, a very important point that we need to understand, that when Islam has provided the solution for every single thing, it is for us to find out about these solutions and how we go about it. And as I said, Muslims continue to be confronted with many different situations. And one issue that Muslims are going to be confronted with, and they are presently being confronted with, it is the aspect of voting in Islam. That is something that Muslims do. Probably a few may not do, but thousands of Muslims do it. And we know that. Every time that comes about, Muslims do it. But the question is this, that if Islam is perfect and complete, is there any teachings connected to that aspect of our lives where we have to actually do that? Are there any guidelines? Or is it that we take it upon our own self to think whether it is good or not? We make our own decision and then we do it. The first and foremost thing, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that we ought as Muslims, our duty is always to find out what has Islam said about this. And whatever way we are guided in, then as believers who have already accepted and made a covenant with Allah by the recital and the belief and the confession of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we must be obedient to Allah, because our loyalty is to Allah and for Allah before any person. Our loyalty is for Allah, our loyalty is to Allah. And this is why, because of the fact that wala, loyalty is for Allah, we will even break our own desires to do that which Allah has commanded us, because first of all, loyalty is for Allah. But loyalty to Allah does not mean that we do not do and we do not fulfill the responsibilities that Allah has placed upon us. If we are loyal to Allah, then Allah has commanded us to treat our neighbors well, so we treat them well. That is in loyalty to Allah. If we are loyal to Allah, Allah has commanded us to treat our family members well, so we treat them well, and that is in loyalty to Allah. If we have loyalty to Allah, Allah has commanded us that whenever we work for a person, we are honest in our dealings, we are trustworthy, and we are truthful. And when we do that, that is also in loyalty to Allah. So we must understand that loyalty to Allah means full obedience to Allah. And a Muslim must always, this is the teaching, regardless of how people may act individually, but if we have a perfect way of life, and we have a way of life that Allah is telling us, that every single thing you need to find out and know, I have given it to you, then on our side as Muslims, who have already recited a kalima that makes a covenant with Allah, and makes a pledge with Allah, where we have sworn allegiance to obey Allah, then it only means that we have to do nothing except that what that allegiance tells us. Obey. Obey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He differentiates between the statement of those people who are not Muslims and those people who are Muslims. And as for those people who are not Muslims, Allah says that those people, whenever the law and the teachings of Islam come to them, they say, Sami'na wa asayna. They say, we hear and we disobey. And as for the Muslims, when they hear, they say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. So there is a striking difference between the concept and the conduct of each party. That the Muslim is the one who submits, and the others are those who do not submit. So therefore, we must always keep in mind that submission is always required in Islam. And not only one type of submission, which is called al-inqiyad al-zahiri, external submission, but Islam and Iman can only be Islam and Iman when there is a connection between al-inqiyad al-zahiri and al-inqiyad al-batini. When there is a connection between external submission and the internal submission. A person must submit from his heart. A person must humble from his heart. It is not that his external actions show that he humbles, but it must come from the depths of the heart, that a Muslim says to Allah, I believe in you, and I will obey you, and I will do whatever you have asked me to do, and that is coming from my heart, and it's not only coming from my physical limbs. Only and only then, and this is what makes the difference between a munafiq and a true Muslim, because a munafiq is that person whose actions are limited to his external parts of the body. He only does action, but there is no conviction in the heart. There is no tasdiq al-qalb. There is no conviction in the heart. There is no confession from the heart. There is no conviction in the heart that yes, Allah is my Lord and I need to be obedient to Him. But it is only connected to external actions. The act of doing things, but when it penetrates the heart is empty. The heart is empty. So therefore, it is very, very important that as Muslims, we know what to do, because every single thing we do, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, every single thing we do, it will fall into any one of the three categories that are defined in Islam. It is either it is halal, it is either it is haram, or either it is mushtabihat or doubtful. It will definitely fall under any one of the categories. Can we eat this? It is either halal to eat, it is either haram to eat, or it is doubtful to eat. Can I wear this? It is either halal to wear, lawful and legal, it is either haram to wear, or either it is doubtful to wear. Every single thing that is connected to our actions, they would fall into any one of the categories. What job do I do? Is it halal in Islam to do that job? Is it haram to do that job? Or is it doubtful in Islam? What product should I sell? Is it halal to sell? Is it haram to sell? Is it doubtful? Very, very, very clear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made it very clear by saying in the hadith, al-halalu bayinun wal haramu bayinun wa baynahuma mushtabihatun. The halal Allah has already made clear, the haram Allah has already made clear, and between the both there are doubtful matters. You and I know very well that which is halal, it means it's lawful for us to do, so we do it. We eat it, we do it, we behave it, we conduct our way in that manner, we sell it, we work like this when it is halal. We go for that which is halal. Haram, we stay very far away from it. We don't even go close to it. We also deter others from doing it. We tell people also not to do it. Doubtful matters, what do we do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the rule in that same riwayat recorded by Imam Bukhari, where he quotes that portion of the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that even in doubtful matters you must refrain, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Faman waqa'a fil mushtabihat or faman waqa'a fil shubhat, whosoever falls into doubtful matters, waqa'a fil haram, he has entered into haram." So from the three things that are highlighted, only one thing is permissible for us to do and go into halal. Doubtful we stay away from, haram we stay away from. So therefore, that is what we have to do. Every single thing, the relationship we have, the people we speak to, the conversation we carry, every single thing in our lives, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, each and every single thing in our life is connected to that. If something is mubah, if something is allowed, meaning it doesn't carry blessing, nor does it carry sin, it means it's lawful to do. This is why it is mubah. It is allowed. So therefore, it is for us to find out, because this is the way we have to live our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your religion, the religion that we have given, it's not only laws about salat, it's not only about the laws regarding criminal activities, it is not about the law of stealing and theft as we are saying, but no, he says, Allah says in the Quran, لِكُلِّن جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Allah is saying to the Prophet, to every Nabi from amongst you, to every Nabi from amongst you, we have given them two things. Shira'atan wa minhaja. Shira'a means we have given them a law, which is called the Sharia. We have given them a law and we have given them a way of life. How to live, how to conduct yourself, how to do this, what is the conduct you should adopt in this way. So every single Nabi has been given what? A Shira'a, a law. A code of law, a practice that has to be instituted in our religion, and a way of life. Minhaja, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, Minhaja, yani sabila, a way that we have to walk upon. And the way that we have to walk upon is something that we have to do in our daily lives. Every minute we walk, it has to be upon that. So therefore, we are required to follow this path. We are required to implement these laws. And this path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, it is a path that He has considered to be one of the greatest favor that He has given to anyone. So therefore, our appreciation to this favor of Allah will show whether we take it in or we push it out. So therefore, when Islam has given us a beautiful way, and there is a way we need to conduct ourselves, when we know something is halal and we know the ruling, then we do that which is good. And if we do not know, then what do we do? Do we analyze it for ourselves? Do we jump at our own conclusions? Allah did not give us the permission to jump on our own conclusions and analyze it for ourselves. This is why He has stated clearly in the Holy Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Do not jump based on your desires and based on your inclinations. This is why Allah says, do not follow the hawa and the desires, because it may misguide you. Do not follow your inclinations. He says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know, ask. Ask. That is how we're going to know. And when we find out what is the correct thing, then we do that which is the correct thing. So when it comes to the act of voting, My dear respected brothers and my dear elders and sisters, many of the scholars and the fuqaha have mentioned that it is permissible to vote. It is permissible to vote. And arriving at that permission, it carries straight back to how Islam came and then what developed after. We know very well that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, monarchy ruled the world. Kings and princes all over the world. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he came as a Nabi. He became as a Shari. He became as the one who will bring Allah's message to the world. And when, alhamdulillah, the Islamic government was established, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the leader. He was the Amir. He was the Nabi. He was the Rasul. He was the lawgiver on behalf of Allah on the face of the world, on the face of the earth. But then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life on the face of the earth came to an end and he was taken aback by Allah, then the institution of Khilafat came about. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself guided the Muslims into this direction, that the most influential people of a community will choose their leader. And he has given the principles whereby a leader will be chosen. And so Khilafat or the Khulafa, they came one after the other. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar, Usman, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Muawiyah, and then going down. In this way, Khulafa, Khilafat, and Amaratu Shari'ah, the Islamic state and Islamic governance, remained like that. But within a few years afterwards, then it was changed. Khilafat was now changed into Mulukiyat. In other words, the system of having a Khalifa, having an Amirul Mu'mineen, now turned its face and went under Mulukiyat and kingship and monarchy rule again. And people started to assume the role of being a king and prince, and it started to come back in Islam. Islam does not tolerate that. Islam does not accommodate that, because it allows the influential people, people who are pious, upright, honest, and good, to choose a leader who will be good for the community. But with that system, it doesn't give way to that. It allows a person upon his deathbed to elect anyone he chooses, whether that person is wicked, whether he is a fasik, whether he's a fajr, whether he's a no good person, whether he's a drunkard, whatever. It allows that king to choose a person, which Islam does not allow. So anyhow, it went on in this manner, and Islam started to move to and from. But wherever Islam went, they were either in the minority or the majority. And in many cases where they became in the minority, then the same system of the monarchy rule existed. And we see all the different territories, it was a system that governed the place. And that went continued. So in that system, there was no voting. There was no election. It's a straight case who will be the other leader. But when Muslims started to move to different lands and Muslims started to interact with each other and Muslims became official citizens of another country that is not governed by Islamic rule, then the Muslims became part of a system. Then the Muslims came together with others and they fell into such system that where others ruled above them. Others ruled above them, regardless of how the rule was, whether it was oppressive, whether it was tyrannical, or whatever it is, that is not our issue. The issue is Muslims in today's world find themselves living in a state of democracy, in places where there is a rule that is based on a type of justice and fairness given to every citizen living in that country. And it does not differentiate between one religion or another religion. And it does not become oppressive to a religion while giving the upper hand to another religion. It is a matter of the citizens living in that country now. They are to elect someone who will now rule that place, not on the basis of a religion, not that a person is voted because he belongs to religion, but because of the fact that a person is voted because he's seen to be the most honest, trustworthy, reliable person who will do the job of leading the entire community. Now, Muslims, when they find themselves living in a place like that, it may happen in countries which occurred in the past that Muslims are oppressed in different ways. Islam does not give the allowance to any Muslim party or any Muslim group to now take violence in their hands and remove any leader. Islam does not allow that. Islam does not allow us to turn in that manner to any system or any situation. It does not allow us to do that. So therefore, if a person in a particular country is not ruling and oppressive, it does not allow, especially where Muslims might be in the minority, it does not allow anybody to go and do something to end the life of that person or to bring about any type of violence. No. But the recourse that have been instituted in such places is a system of voting a person out of power. And that's something which is accepted in the Sharia. So because of the fact that if Muslims are not allowed to do that, then it may happen that an oppressor and a tyrant ruler will continue to do it. And when that person continues to do that, no one but the Muslims will face the brunt of the oppression and tyranny. No one but them. So therefore, it is now then a duty for those people who are upright, for those people who love righteousness and love goodness, that they make a change as far as possible to do something to either move an oppressor from his seat or to bring an honest, trustworthy person in the seat. That is how Islam views it. This is why many of the fuqaha have stated that Islam views the concept of voting as shahadat. Shahadat means giving witness and testimony. So therefore, a person who comes before us asking the people to vote for him, he's making two claims before us. One claim is that he's competent for the position he's asking or seeking. This is what he's saying. I am the best person for that position. I can do the job. I can do this and I can do that and I can do every single thing. One, he claims that he's competent. And the other thing is that a person claiming that he's trustworthy, he's honest, he will fulfill the promises that he's make. He will treat you as a citizens in a good manner and he will do everything good. This is the claim that every such person makes when he tells you to elect me or vote for me. Now, how do we react to that? As I said, many of the fuqaha and jurists have stated it is a shahadat, a testimony. We can either bear witness by casting a vote that I bear witness by Allah. This is the essence of a vote. That it is a testimony we are given by electing a person that in mine heart, in the sight of Allah, you are truthful. You are competent. So I, in mine opinion, want to put you in power. And every one of us, when we are doing that, that is actually what we are saying. Allah has commanded us to be truthful in our testimony. In other words, if you are bearing witness for a situation or to a person, you must be truthful. It is haram to lie. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, false witnesses, it is from among akbar al kaba'ir, the most major of the major sins recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. So therefore, when a person comes in front of us, you know, showing and asking us to do this, then a Muslim's approach is this, that whether you are an honest person, whether you are trustworthy, whether you are reliable, whether you are competent, whether you can really do what you are saying, then if a person, a Muslim, thinks that that is the case, then it is permissible to do that and a person can cast his vote. Equally, it is important that if any Muslim knows that any ruler or any would-be ruler is wicked, is evil-minded, is not trustworthy, is not competent, it is false testimony, which is a major sin. Now, because of an alliance in one way or the other, family relationship, religious relationship, or community relationship, only on the basis of this, knowing that a person is not competent, still to put that person in power, then it goes to show that all the evils that will emanate from that person afterwards, it will fall on the shoulders of this person as sins, because it is you, and you who have put an oppressor in power to oppress the servants of Allah. This is why Mufti Shafi, writing on this topic, who was the then great and grand Mufti of Pakistan, established by the state of Pakistan, he has written, he says, Muslims look at it as a trivial manner in two ways. Muslims think when it comes to voting and election, they think that this is something connected to only dunya and worldly. We really don't have a bother. Who you vote for, that's your business. Who you campaign for, that's your business. He says, no. In what you are doing, you can either make your akhirat in Jannat or Jahannam. So it is directly connected. He says, don't be misguided. It is directly connected. If through your help a good person comes, it is the servants of Allah that will reap from the goodness of that person. And if through your casting of votes and electing a person, a wicked man comes, who oppresses all Allah's servants on the face of the earth, you will share in the sins, in this sin also. This is why they have also termed it under wakala. You have put and placed a representative on behalf of the people. What type of representation you wish to do? So therefore, it is very important for us to know that when it comes to that, it is not about who is my friend and who is of my religion. Why? You know, I mean, an argument that is used normally uses about, you know, you voting for a kafir, na'uzubillah. We have to understand the teachings of Islam when it connects to our relationship and interaction with people who might not be Muslims. In this country, you are not voting for a person to kill out the Islamic teachings. You are not voting for a person to bring a new religion. It's not about that. Because when people use that remark, na'uzubillah, it so happens that these very people who use these remarks about you are voting for a kafir or you are electing a kafir, they are the very sad people who work for the kafir, who they reap the benefit from the same kafir they are speaking against. The benefit, day and night, they want a job, they get a job. Their children are working for the same system. So therefore, we have to understand that the system we are living in is not about Islamic governance or non-Islamic governance. Alhamdulillah, through Allah's mercy, Muslims in this part of the world and other countries do not live in a system where anyone goes about breaking down our masjids, where anyone makes it forbidden for us to perform salat, where anyone makes it haram and forbidden for us to wear our Islamic garb, or any system that has made it essential that our women cannot wear niqab or wear hijab, or where workers are not given the time for Jummah salat. Alhamdulillah. So therefore, the systems that we are living in, they do not fight us for our religion. And Allah says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells you believers that those people who are not of your same creed and religion, do not, Allah says, if they do not fight you against your religion, then you continue to be kind to them. So therefore, we live in a system where a system that comes in place, it is a governance for the people, by the people, to the people. It is a system where it's you and I sometimes might be elected to a position, not to govern in a manner that you are unjust and unfair, but to govern with fairness and justice that is equal to everyone. So this is why, yes, in Islam it is permissible, but as I said, we have to be truthful to what we are doing. It is a testimony, subhanallah, that we are given to Allah. That, oh Allah, in my heart and in my mind, I am convinced that this is the best person, most competent person, and so I will want to elect this person. And we have to think about it, we have to understand before Muslims do that. Muslims have always done it. Na'uzubillah, it may happen Muslims may do it on account of many different reasons. But this is the criterion we use in the Sharia, and the Sharia has used for anyone trying to elect another person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us accordingly. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله حكمته بالغة وعلمه غدير ونعمه واسلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا بآياته وذكر الحكيم نستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إن الله سميع قريب مجيب دعوات الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنهم اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم من بعد غرضا فمن أحبهم فبحب أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يعمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم والله أعلى وأولى وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر وأقيموا الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاح هيا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
make sure the lines are straight, no spaces between. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ الله سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى أما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarak tayyadhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma la mani lima atayta wa la mu'ti lima mana'ta wa la yanfuz al jadi minka al jadi. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem rahimun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Respected brothers and sisters, a little reminder, we still have about 9-10 days left for the month, this month of Shawwal. For those who have not kept their six fasts, it's a good time that they could start it, inshallah. Remember, the sunnah after the fard is emphasized. Should try to pray them, inshallah. And our Friday night program resumes from tonight. Inshallah, tonight, Malam Bissalam will be lecturing to us. This program has been shortened, as you know. So there are just a few days in the year that we are going to have, not the entire year. So brothers are asked to turn out and bring someone along, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assistance is required from a few brothers to move the wooden swing from out in the rain to under the covered area in the southern building. Brothers who are interested to help, get in contact with Brother Nizo, inshallah.